Hallelujah. Morning, Zoom people. Let's see who's here. We've got some great people. We got a great crowd here this morning. I think this is the biggest group of people so far meeting out on the lawn. So you know, it's really good. It's good to come together. And there's something special about being present, even if we have to space out quite a bit. It's good to feel like we are together in the presence of the Lord. And we know that you that are joining us on Zoom, you know, you can sense that unity even through the internet, even through your screen. Hopefully we pray that you sense that unity and that presence of the Lord. There's definitely a theme going on this morning that the Lord has orchestrated. When we come together and we individuals pray and plan and prepare in their own hearts, you know, Scott prepares some music, one of the other worship leaders prepares what's for online worship, the speaker prepares, the person steering prepares some scriptures or whatever, and at the end of the day, we see how God had a plan through it all. And there's often a theme running through everything that comes together. And that's the Holy Spirit. That's what he does. This week, I'll hang on to my notes, a little drafty up here. This week, we're going to look at trust again. It's trust part two. Last week, I started and we just looked into the areas of trust and trusting God. And so this morning, already through everything that's happened, there's this sense of the need and the importance of trust. In the songs that we sang, especially the scripture-based ones, there's trust. It is well with my soul was a song of trust, if you know the story. Fasting and praying is trust. Alpha, week by week, is trust. We're doing it because we believe the Lord has asked us to do it and is directing us that way. We trust him. We trust him for the fruit. We trust him for the outcome. So this morning, I want to continue talking a bit about trust. And perhaps some practical steps that will help us be able to trust more. Anyone here got perfect trust, got it all worked out? Oh, I don't see anyone. I was hoping someone could help me. Trust is something we grow in. It's something we have to learn. And we want to improve our trust in Father God. So a little bit of a review from last week. I know you all remember it, and I'm sure you didn't know there was going to be a test. And if you want to, you missed it, you want to go back, it is on the website. Go back to wocc.ca, scroll down the first page, and you'll find the sermons listed there. You can go and listen again. But what is the definition of trust? Talked a little bit about that. In the dictionary, trust is defined as a firm belief in the reliability, the truth, the ability, or strength of someone or something. It's a firm belief in the reliability, truth, ability, or strength of someone or something. And really, we looked at this and said everything is based in trust. There's always trust involved in whatever we do. And we need to be trusting God when we don't fully recognize his plan. We don't necessarily know exactly what he's doing, but we can trust him. It's having confidence in God to work all things to the good of those who love him. We looked quite a bit about personal trust. There's types of trust. There's personal trust, is what I trust, and then there's the corporate trust as a church, as a congregation. How do we trust the Lord for us. But on the personal side, you know, I see, and I see daily, I see continually, and I've seen for, you know, all my life looking back, I see that Father God is interested in my daily life. And that can seem quite amazing. The God of creation, the God of the universe, is interested in my life today at this moment. He cares right now about what's happening to me. And I trust him in that. We have Romans 8:28, and this is from the Passion Translation. This is why we can trust him. So we are convinced that every detail of our lives is continually woven together to fit into God's perfect plan of bringing good into our lives. For we are his lovers who have been called to fulfill his designed purpose. So we can be convinced that every detail is in his hands. That's a great place to start in trust. We said that you always trust something, and you have to decide each time, what do you trust? And you can train your thinking. You can train the way you apply trust. And we want to apply trust to God alone. We looked at Psalm 20 and verse 7 in particular. Some trust in chariots, some in horses, but we trust in the name of the Lord our God. We have a choice. We can trust in horses. We can trust in chariots, you know, the strength and the wisdom of man. Or we can trust in the Lord, our God, alone. And the psalmist says, I trust in the name of the Lord, our God. That's important. The name is something that we really need to think about and to understand. What is the name of the Lord, our God? What do you call the Lord our God when you talk to him? And of course, there's different names depending on where we're at, what our conversation is, what we're interceding for, what we're thanking him for, and so forth. There's lots of names of God in the Bible which are representing his characteristics, his attributes. But the true name of the Lord God is the Lord Jesus Christ. And when you look at that, we often say, oh, I do something in the name of the Lord. And you know, that's okay, but let's use the name of the Lord. I do it in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And there's three parts to that. Lord, we have three parts to the Godhead, the Trinity. We have God the Father, we have God the Son, we have God the Holy Spirit. Three in one. One God, yet three persons. It's hard to get your head around that sometimes, but that's the reality of Scripture. And from the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, Father is the Lord Jehovah. The Son is Jesus, who came to earth to die for us. And the Spirit is the anointer. And the one that gives us that power and the anointing. So we can say the name of God is the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, which is the Lord Jesus Christ. And when we trust in the name, that's the name in which we trust. There is no other name. There is no other name by which we may be saved. Acts 4:12 says that very clearly. It's in the middle of, you know, one of the great sermons in Acts, and go and read it. Salvation is found in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given to mankind by which we must be saved. So live your lives trusting the Lord, trusting the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. He will work it out. So some practice what does trust look like or not look like? You know, what does not trusting look like as much as what does trusting look like? You know, we can learn from both aspects, and we probably, if you're like me, you live in both parts of it. You know, sometimes I'm living in trust and sometimes I'm living in not trust. I must confess, yesterday I was not trusting too much for this morning. But look what God did with the weather. And I was thinking, oh, we're going to freeze, we're going to get wet. And then the Lord says, no, trust me. And Chuck, our leading optimist, sent out the email saying, it's going to be a beautiful day. Little chilly, but a beautiful day. And it's not even chilly. If you're sitting in the sun like I am, it's really hot. It's a beautiful, we trusted the Lord. He comes through and does what he wants. He has a plan. Romans 15, 13. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace. We said this last week, we looked at it. Such a great verse. I thought we needed to get back there again this week. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace. As I said last week, if we stop there, that would be great. Wouldn't that be great? We can be filled with all joy and all peace from the Lord our God. But there's the next piece to that. I got to do something. It's a promise with a condition. As you trust in him. So he will fill us with hope and joy and peace as we trust in him. That's one of the examples. That's one of the effects that we can see, one of the outcomes that we can see of trusting the Lord, that we have his joy and his peace. But that verse doesn't even stop there. We got the condition, trust in him, so that, it goes on, so that, there's more to come. You, as you trust him, you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. So it's our trust in him that brings joy and peace. It's the power of the Holy Spirit in my life that overflows me with hope. And I can walk in that place. I can live in that place of joy, peace, hope because of trust in the Lord. I thought that was good. Yeah. The problem of being outside, you can't hear any form of response, you know. I think scripture is fantastic. It's got you don't need to make up words to preach a sermon. You just read the Bible. It's all there. There is a dynamic relationship between trust and power. Trust and power. Proverbs 3:5. Another one of my favorite. We did it last week. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. You know, trust isn't about what I know. Trust isn't about how I understand what's going to happen. Trust is trust. Trust is saying, I don't understand it. I don't get it. I don't even know where you're going, Lord. But I trust that it'll be the best thing. Psalm 56, 2 and 4. The psalmist says, my adversaries pursue me all day long in their pride. Many are attacking me. And as we said, not a good place to be. However, the psalmist goes on, when I am afraid, I put trust in you. So we can see there's a connection between fear and trust. If I'm afraid, then perhaps I'm not trusting the Lord. The psalmist said when he is afraid, that's when he gets up there and puts his trust in the Lord. You know, trust is not an emotion. Trust is not a feeling. We have emotions, we have feelings, they are good. But trust is not an emotion. Trust is something we do. You can choose trust. You can train trust. You can increase your trust. It's not how you feel at any one time. Trust, or the lack of it, does generate emotions, and emotions are part of it. I'm not saying that there's no emotional aspect to trust. What I'm saying is trust is not an emotion, but often emotions are involved with trust, and we're seeing that in these Psalms. Fear, anxiety, you know, hope and joy and peace. These things come, or they either initiate the trust or cause us to trust, or they come from the trust. But trust itself is something we can grow, we can mature, we can learn, and we can improve. So how do I build my trust? 1 Peter 2, verse 6. And here Peter is quoting the Old Testament scriptures. He says, "For in scripture it says, 'See, I lay a stone in Zion, a chosen and precious cornerstone, and the one who trusts in him will Sometimes the word shame is translated disappointed, or in the old-fashioned King James, it was confounded. You know, that when we trust the Lord, we're not disappointed. We're not confounded. We're not ashamed. If disappointment is in my life, then I've got to ask myself, have I lost my trust? Am I disappointed in God because I've stopped trusting him? Am I disappointed in this actual life situation because I've forgotten, I've stopped trusting God? Psalm 25, verse 2. I trust in you, do not let me be put to shame. So here the psalmist is picking up this same idea, trust and shame, trust and disappointment. You know, one comes when the other isn't there. But let me not be put to shame, nor let my enemies triumph over me. You know, I need victory, and victory comes from trust. So if you are sensing any form of disappointment, maybe you're thinking God isn't coming through for you. Maybe you're thinking God isn't listening to you. Maybe you're thinking that you've lost your hope and your joy. Well, start, rather than by trying to fix the effects, the emotions, start by asking yourself, have I stopped trusting the Lord? Where am I not trusting him? Can I get back to a place of true trust in God? Psalm 37, 3 to 5, this one in the Passion Translation, keep trusting in the Lord. You know, the psalmist has this theme of trusting in the Lord so many times throughout the Psalms. You just read through them and look for the word trust. It comes up over and over. Keep trusting in the Lord and do what is right in his eyes. There's a useful practical example. You know, what is right in the eyes of God? Let's go and do that as I trust him. Fix your heart. Here's a great practical piece of advice. Fix your heart on the promises of God and you will be secure. Do you know the promises of God? How can you fix your heart on the promises of God if you don't know them? Let's remind ourselves, let's reread, let's refresh our hearts of the promises of God so that we can do what the psalmist says here, fix your heart on the promises of God and you will be secure. Feasting in his faithfulness. What a picture. Feasting in his faithfulness. That's not, oh, thanks for thinking. Faithful God, yeah. Thanks for doing it. That's okay. You're cool. Feasting. That's exuberance. That's overjoy. That's how do you even put words to it? Psalmist goes on. Make God the utmost delight. Wow. Graham, is God the utmost delight in your life? And pleasure of your life. God has a really significant place in our lives when we're in a place of trust. And we need to understand that. We need to receive his utmost delight. We need the pleasure of our life in his eyes. Psalmist goes on, and he will provide for you what you desire the most. That's quite the promise. Now, I can't tell you that if you desire wrong and really bad things, he will not help you out there so much. He'll try and change your life plan, and he will bring you back, and he'll take you on that journey that you have to go through. But when we trust in him, when we understand him, and when we live in that place, he will provide what is the desire of our hearts. Give God the right to direct your life. Well, this psalmist, he's getting a little intense. You know, that's a bit personal. Give God the right to direct your life? Yeah. How can you trust someone if you won't do what they're telling you to do? You know, I trust people, I trust things because I give them the right to direct my life. And as you trust him along the way, you'll find he pulled it off perfectly. I love the Passion Translation. It's really out there. You know, they throw in a whole load of extra words that really make it passionate. That's the whole point of this translation. It makes us think. You know, if we're trusting God and we're doing these things, we're giving him the right, we're walking with him, we're sharing our life with him, we'll find out that he pulled it off perfectly. That's what trust is all about. Finding out that the person you trusted actually knew what they were doing and they did it perfectly. If you don't understand that, you don't understand trust. It might not be the way I wanted it to happen. Usually isn't with God. But he does pull it off perfectly. Psalm 56, verse 3. When I am afraid, I put trust in you. It's back to that fear again. Let's not fear, but in fear. Let's recognize I'm afraid of something and put my trust in God. Psalm 13, verse 5. But I trust in your unfailing love. My heart rejoices in your salvation. Psalm 31, 14. But I trust in you, Lord. I say, you are my God. The Psalms are full of trust. And the psalmist is always saying, no matter what my emotion, what's happening in my life, you know, and some horrible things were happening, and he got into some real trouble, but he still said, you are my God, and I love you. Jeremiah 17, 10 to 8. You know, we don't normally go to Jeremiah for happy verses. But here's one. But blessed is the one who trusts in the Lord, whose confidence is in him. There's something we can do. Trust is about confidence. I trust someone when I put my confidence in them. I trust God when I put my confidence. I'm confident, Lord, you're going to do this. That's trust. I'm confident that we're not going to get rained on today. Would have been my trust if I'd said that out loud. It's Chuck's trust. He said in his email, it's going to be a beautiful day. We were confident in the Lord. You know, a side thought, the great thing that encourages and challenges me is that God will still work through his plan even if I lose my trust. You know, he has a purpose. He wants to fulfill it. And what God does isn't 100% dependent on what I do. If it was, this world would have ended a long time ago. So he still is in control. God is sovereign. I can assure you of that. However, he works through things, especially in my life, through that trust aspect. And I lose out on things because I don't trust him. So I'm confident they will be like a tree planted by the water that sends out its roots by the stream. It does not fear. There's that fear word again. When heat comes, its leaves are always green. It has no worries in a year of drought and never fails to bear fruit. Trust brings forth fruit. If I'm trusting the Lord, I should be seeing fruit in my life. If I'm not seeing fruit in my life, let's ask myself, where am I not trusting God? Where have I lost my trust and my confidence in him? However, I do want to say that trust is not being resigned to the inevitable. You know, sometimes we can talk about these things and push off to the extreme and say, oh, it's going to happen. Whatever happens, happens. I'm trusting God. You know, we don't resign to the inevitable. God loves me. We started there in Romans 8:28. He does it because he loves me, not because he has a plan and it must happen no matter what happens to me. It is a confidence that I have, not the inevitable. It's a confidence that I have that it will happen because he said it will. And it will happen to the good of his kingdom. Philippians 4:6-7. Well-known verse, one of my favorites again, but do not be anxious. If you're being anxious, here's a scripture verse that can help you. If you're worried about something, anxieties in your life, do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, in every situation, by prayer, by petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests. We've got to talk to God. If I'm anxious, I've lost my trust. I'm not sure. Come and talk. Lord, this is what I'm thinking. This is what I need. This is where I'm at. Present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. There's a great promise there as we come through our anxiety, through our worry, through our fear, we give our request. We say, Lord, this is what I need. I don't understand it. I don't follow it. You don't want me to understand it. This is where I'm at. And the peace of God will come. And it guards our hearts and it guards our minds. But you know what? You can't trust if you don't ask. You've got to ask God and then trust him for the answer. Trust him to move. Trust him to fulfill the promises that he's given us. So don't be anxious. Ask and then trust him to fulfill those. It isn't expecting your answer either. Sometimes we pray and we pray specifically and say, Lord, I want you to do this. On Saturday morning, I need so-and-so to be there. You know, maybe that is an insight and prophetic prayer to his plan. That happens, I agree. But sometimes that's not God's plan and something else happens. I'm trusting him, but not necessarily with what I thought was going to happen. I got to keep that balance in perspective. I can pray. I must pray specifically and definitely. You don't know if a prayer has been answered if you said, oh, God, wouldn't it be nice if everybody is happy? Amen. And you look around and think, well, most people are happy. God answered that prayer. No, we've got to be specific when we pray. We've got to be detailed. But let's not. When we are detailed in our praying, let's not expect God to always answer it the way we asked him to answer it, because he sometimes has a better way, or he understands the consequences we haven't yet seen if it was answered the way we thought. So, you know, we said this a bit last week. Let's be careful when we are talking to the Lord. Let's let our request be made known. Do it continually, it says in another place. But let's trust him for the right answer to come to our prayers. So trusting Jesus is sufficient. You know, sometimes it seems a little weird. I can trust God for my future eternal life, which I really don't understand, but he's promised it. I trust that one day, you know, I'll be with him. One day I will live for eternity because of what Jesus did on the cross I fully understand. Well, I don't feel inside. I fully trust that. I fully believe that. Why is it I can believe these eternal, unseen things and yet struggle to trust him in the temporal short life, in what's really happening now and I can see around me? No, why not? If I can trust God in the eternal, I should easily be able to trust him in the now. So let's do that. But to be able to trust God in the eternal, the same as trusting God in the now, we must understand and you must be certain of your salvation. How can you talk to a God that you don't believe saved you? How can you pray to the Father if you don't believe Jesus really died? You know, the salvation and what Jesus did for us is so important in our lives. It really grieves me when I see people saying, oh, let's pray for that. We send you our prayers. You know, but they don't even know who the Lord is. We can only trust somebody we know. We can only trust somebody who has given us everything in salvation. So you must be certain of your salvation. Not a worldly hope, but a sincere faith. Without true salvation, trust in Father is meaningless. A couple more pointers and then we'll wrap it up. Sometimes I start in trust and then slip out. It's so easy to override trust. Often we can start in trust, especially as a congregation like this, in unity. We hear the prophetic, we understand what God's planning for us, we walk into it, we pray in sincerity, we truly believe. And then time moves on, it's not perhaps quite working out the way we thought it should, because God's got a better plan. We're on our own, and sometimes I stop trusting, and I start thinking, well, how can I work this out, Lord, so that you look good? Because obviously you've forgotten that prayer, Lord. I need to remind you, and I'll do it for you. It'll be okay. And it's so easy to override trust. Oh, I know. I'm the only one that does it. I can see you are thinking, what? He does that? It's okay to go in and out. It's okay to stop trusting. As long as we say, Lord, I'm sorry, I did forget. I did stop trusting. Please, I come back. I do trust you. I really, really do trust you. There's just this, you know, mental warfare going on between trusting you and working things out in my mind and the understanding. And yeah, I really do trust you, Lord, because I've seen you time and time again come through with the perfect answer for my prayers. For this church, I'm trusting, we are trusting, we've all been praying, and it's really interesting how this week we're going to be starting and focusing on a new emphasis of prayer. Chuck introduced us to the 40 days of prayer and fasting, and that can look different for every one of us. What's important is, am I trusting God in it, and am I doing what he wants me to do so I can spend time learning trust, learning his presence, learning his love, learning his hope, and having those in my life. We believe as a congregation, God has a perfect plan for us, and we're walking in it. We walk in trust. Nobody has written down the 50-year plan for WOCC, and we're on year 25 or anything like that. We just say, God has called us. We gather in his name, we worship him as we did this morning, and we walk in the way that he sets before us. We believe there's fundamental things that are important, and we won't go into all those right now, but there are things that are really important to us, and we must do them, and we do, and we walk in them. However, the ultimate, we don't really know where God has taken us, but we've been excited and blessed time and time again to see that he takes us to exciting places. Now, talk to Ken. He's still writing his book, but one day we'll have it. Please. The stories of Ken and Lois in this church over the years just exude trust. Now, it doesn't say that Ken and Lois were 100% trustful and never gave up. There were times of worry, times of fear, times of anxiety, but underlying, they trust God. And we as a congregation trust God. And that's where he's taken us. And we believe that Father will grow us in many ways. That he will bring us and make us a kingdom influence in this area. We pray for Cup quite often and Stittsville. You know, these are important communities. God's put us here for a reason. And you know what? He's given us a lot of grass for a reason. Let's fill it. Marvin, where are you? Marvin is our fill the grass campaign man. We've got a lot more space for people to come and gather to worship the King on Sunday mornings. Let's come out Monday night, 6 o'clock, Let's stand around here and pray to the heavenlies, pray to the Lord as his presence comes amongst us. He's not a remote God. He's a God that comes into his people. He will be with us. He will pray with us. And I trust that tomorrow night, we will pray the will of God. I trust that tomorrow night, we will see movement in the kingdom, in the heavenlies, because his people gather in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and declare his purpose and his will. Anyone believe that? Two or three. Anyone believe that? But when we pray, we have an impact in the kingdom. Hallelujah. So let's wrap up now. I want to pray. There's lots we could pray about, and I'm sure the Lord, the Holy Spirit, has just been speaking to you. If you've been having thoughts and ideas and thinking of Bible verses, then that could be, and most likely is, the Holy Spirit prompting you about things, but you need to deal with that right now. Think about it. As I pray, I just want to pray a specific prayer that's for us personally, and it's up to you how you pray it. But I want to pray about anyone that's lost trust or is trusting or wants to trust in a particular situation. That we won't be disappointed in the Lord's plan, but we're really trusting. I'm going to pray that. So think of anything now. If the Holy Spirit's put something on your mind, that may be it. Where are you trusting the Lord right now for something? And if you're not, where should you be trusting him? And if you don't know salvation yet, then, as I said, you can't trust him until you know him. If you don't know him, when I pray this, I want you to say, I trust in you as my Savior. I trust in you as my Lord. That's the greatest trust you can put in the Lord, your salvation. Thank you, God. Thank you, Lord. Lord, we thank you that we can trust you. We thank you that you are the almighty, everlasting, never-ending God. And Lord, we trust you and we seek after you today. And now, Lord, we pray that in this particular situation that each of us are thinking of right now and are talking to you about, Lord, in each situation, we are trusting you. I am trusting you. Say that to the Lord if that's your prayer. I am trusting you. And Lord, most of all, each of us needs to be able to say, and perhaps have already said, Lord, we are trusting in you for our salvation. Thank you, Jesus, that you came to live on this earth, the Son of God, who gave his life for me upon that cross, who died and took away my sin, who not only died and went to the grave, but rose again to new life, victorious, conqueror over death, and rose to be in heaven at your right-hand side, Father. Lord, we trust in that more than anything, so that in that trust, we can now say, Lord, I'm trusting in you for this particular thing. And I won't be disappointed in your outworking of your will in my life. We pray in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. So we're have Scott and Roland back here. I'll turn the laptop to face them a little bit. And I understand that for the Zoom people, it's not the best audio, but you'll probably know the song. You can join with it, and let's worship the Lord as we conclude. Keep this unity in conclusion. And then when the song is finished, Jamie will keep the Zoom people on for a little bit where you can have your chat and share and enjoy some fellowship together. But bless you all. Thanks for coming this week. Over to you, Scott.